sick of all you sycophants, ignorance and miscreants, simpletons and little ants, trying to split their sentience. People peddle pestilence, land pipe on their settlements, and I don't think it was even food for it was excrement. Get your head in it. Second wind represent white shit, kid. I never stepped in it. I reckon it's older than the New Testament. Edited shit. It's better to drink water.
Hi, I'm Daniel Regera, and this is a Sober Thoughts edition of Tequila, the segment of the podcast where we talk about a topic in tech while not taking a shot of tequila every 10 minutes. With me today, I have Holden DePardo. Hello.
Hello, I'm right here.
And I have Michael Caputo.
Hello.
Hello. All our last names sound like we're in the mafia. I just want to point that out. We all sound like we're a part of, I don't know, some sort of like bad joke about Italians walking into a bar. Totally. But today we are here to talk about the Pixel 3a, which was just recently announced. We all have feelings. I am in my feelings. I'll probably let y'all lead and then I'll start, but I guess real quick thought. As soon as I saw it and saw like the brief overview of the specs, how it looked, the price point, I immediately got Nexus vibes, and that made me happy, because the Nexus phones were things I liked.
I completely agree with that. I think that's what has been missing from the Pixel line. I have a Pixel 2 XL, and I really, really like that this phone a lot, but I had a Pixel 4 back in 2012, and the big thing with that is it was a really solid
Nexus,
flagship.
Nexus 4.
Yep.
You said Pixel.
Oh, I said Pixel 4. Yeah, Nexus 4, sorry. And it was a flagship phone. But at half the price. And that's kind of where this is. But I think the big deal with this one is that it also has an unbelievable camera. And so many people buy phones just for the camera.
Yeah.
So I feel like this could really steal some thunder from some of those $1,000 flagships. I mean, if you think about how Apple sells their flagship phones, like the XS and the XS Max both have those dual camera incredible setups.
Right.
But I think that Google's been kind of not necessarily outplaying them, but playing on a level field with just one. And it's the same camera in this phone. So I think that's kind of the big deal here. And again, the price point, $479 for the Plus model and no notch. Great.
Right. Well, and the photos are, from what I've seen, not identical to the Pixel 3, but so close that it's like really hard to contrast them. And I think that might be from, so if we're talking about specs, we're talking about it having the same camera, still a very good screen. Doesn't have the like quote unquote full screen notch thing going on. You know, has bezels on the top and the bottom. And on the inside, it doesn't have the same specs. It has the same amount of RAM, but has a lesser processor. And I think maybe there might be a little bit of photo differences from that processor. Cause a lot of like the Google foo behind the scenes with the photos is because of, you know, software, not the hardware of the camera itself. So I think there might be some margin. It might be like marginally worse, but like you'll be hard pressed to see that. Like you'd have to try really hard. I think like I could if I went for like pixel by pixel as a photographer, but like otherwise.
Yeah, but most people don't have that level of insight on what makes a great photo. They just look and go like, wow, the colors popped. Looks cool.
Well, and like who's using raw photos on a camera anymore? Like most people, especially on your phone.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm trying to think, which one was the Nexus 4?
The Nexus 4 looked like...
it had the glitter on the back. It had like a glittery kind of back to it.
Was it made by Motorola?
That one was LG.
Yeah. The LG ones were the ones that were well received. The 4 and the 5, I believe, were the LG ones. The 5 was like heralded as the all-time favorite. God, those phones were such like nerd favorite phones. My first Nexus device was a Nexus 7, which was a tablet. The little like mini tablet. I got it instead of an iPad mini because it was way cheaper for like a higher resolution screen to show off photos and designs.
$200 or something like that.
Very cheap.
Yeah.
But good product. Solid phone. Yeah. And that was my intro to Android because I had an iPhone 4S at that time. And I was like, I really like Android. This is really cool. And then that's when I got Android phones. But yeah, it's such Nexus vibes on this line. It's so interesting. And what's interesting about this versus the other cheap phones out there, like the OnePlus phones, is that this kind of flips the script in terms of like the what they do with the phone. So, like, I'll explain. The OnePlus phones and some of the other cheaper phones are known for having, like, crazy fast RAM, really awesome innards, I would say, you know, really fast hardware. And then they kind of sacrifice in places like the screen or the camera. I mean, the OnePlus cameras are known for not having the best cameras, but instead, like, you get, like, a phone that has, I mean, their most recent ones have, I think you can max out at 8 gigabytes still, if I remember correctly. I know, like, they had 8 gigabytes on their phone, like, 2 years ago on the OnePlus 5, and they're already on the 6T, which is insane. Whereas the Pixel now still just has 4.
Yeah, even the flagship one.
right, for a really high price. But then the camera is okay. You know, nothing to write home about. The screens are normally okay. Nothing to write home about. You know, they work. They look okay. They're not, like, fantastic. This is a flip of that script where the innards are, you know, the same thing you get on the Pixel, which is kind of okay. And then, well, the Snapdragon, what is it? I'm not going to look at the model.
870 or 860 or something like that. On the newest phone, the 3A.
Yeah, that's the, and it's like a, it's not as powerful as what's in the Pixel 3.
Yeah, which that's right, a now. 845. No. Yeah.
Right, so it's kind of like dumbing down the innards, for lack of a better, lack of a better phrase. And so it's kind of flipping the script of, like, what you'd see from a OnePlus or a Poco phone, etc. Which is really interesting because no one's playing to that. I think, Holden, you said earlier, and I'm like, yes, I agree, that this is probably geared less towards the people who are buying OnePlus and all that stuff and buying, you know, like a flagship iPhone or Samsung or, you know, Pixel, and are like, hey, I can get something that's very similar for cheaper.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe a couple, you can think of it a couple different ways. So, you know, you can think that Google with this latest 3A is kind of redoing or rethinking the iPhone 5C, because really this is kind of what it is.
Yeah.
But the, you know, maybe talking about the specs, the image signal processor that's in the Pixel 3A is going to be different than what is found in, you know, the 3 and the 3 XL.
Okay.
The images are a little bit more, the white balance is different, not dramatically, but it is different. And the colors are a little bit different. I would say in terms of, like, sharpening, the 3A sharpens a little bit more. So the photos look a little bit.
Interesting.
Yeah. They do look a little bit different. I actually have one.
Could that be a software thing though? Like, maybe that update's going to be coming to the other phones.
It could be. So I have a 3A XL and a 3 XL, and I've been testing it out. They look pretty similar. Again, just the white balance and some of the sharpening, in my opinion.
Okay.
Not in all use cases, but not in all photos, but in a majority of the photos that I've taken, they do look a little bit more sharpened. It's not, I think it's just personal preference, right? That's something that you can see, you can, you know, undercorrect or change in some editing software.
Right.
But
right.
Like, you know, like you guys were talking about, most people, you know, take a picture with their phone and they take it once, they look at it maybe 3 or 4 times, and that's the end of that photo's life cycle. They never take it off their phone. They never look at it on a website. And that phone is really, or that picture is really optimized to look good on that screen.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. So you're saying in general that they look really similar though, overall?
Yeah, they look really similar.
Like, I feel like it's close enough that if you care about those differences, you're not using your Pixel 3A to take your serious photos anyway.
Right.
Yeah. You're right. I mean, you're not. I mean, if you're someone who is an avid photographer or an avid videographer, let's talk about videos. But you're probably not using your camera phone for your work.
Yeah.
Wait, we haven't talked about the one thing that's fucking hilarious. The headphone jack.
Yeah. What is up with the headphone jack?
Weirdly placed.
It's just its existence.
Yeah. The fact that it's here is amazing.
Yeah.
So it's, Mike, you have it. It's on the top, right?
Correct.
Yeah. You say weirdly placed, I guess because you prefer it on the bottom where the charging port is as well.
Well, you know, in the beginning we were talking about the Nexus phones, and I'm not familiar with the Nexus 4, but I did have the Nexus 6, and the Nexus 6 was on the top as well, on the left-hand side of the top of the bezels.
Right.
So it's weirdly placed, in my opinion. I think it just speaks to who Google is trying to attract with this phone, right, who they want to purchase this. And it's people that might not be fully, you know, embedded into a lifestyle where they have, you know, Bluetooth headphones all the time.
Yeah.
And it's okay.
Yeah. I agree with you with the placement being annoying, because I think all of my Android phones had the headphone jack on the top, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, it's a very retro thing. Even old iPhones had it that way.
It's really annoying. I fucking hate it. Yeah. I think I had the HTC One M7 model of it, and I'm pretty sure that was on top. And then I had the Nexus 6P, which I'm pretty sure also was on top. Yeah, having the headphone jack on the top of the phone is super fucking annoying. Not a huge fan.
Well, it's like they got rid of water resistance. It has like splash and dust resistance or something.
I'm okay with that for a headphone jack.
I don't know. I feel like, I guess for me, I have wireless headphones. So like, I'm fine at this point going fully wireless and that kind of stuff. So I'd rather have the water resistance. I like being, like when I was living in Chicago and I'm waiting for a train, I could just take my phone out when it's raining and not worry about it getting soaked if I want to see when the next bus is going to come or something like that.
That's a good point.
And this phone, it's like, cool, I have that, but I don't have that anymore, but I do have a headphone jack that I personally wouldn't use. And I feel like Google themselves have been setting up that trend of, we don't need that. Yeah. That headphone jack anymore. I mean, my Pixel 2 doesn't have the headphone jack,
right,
let alone
right.
the 3. So that felt like an odd choice. But I think, Michael, I think you make a good point, which is that this is for people who have like an iPhone 5 still or something along those lines, like a phone that's that old.
Yeah.
And don't invest in technology the same way I do. Sorry. Go ahead.
No, that's okay. I didn't mean to cut you off. So it's really interesting. I think just the timing of this phone, when you think about where this is and some of the things that I've read and come to understand, is that, you know, Google really want, I mean, if they were, I guess what's been said is that they've been having trouble selling the phones kind of in scale, right? And you see that the 3 has, you know, been recently discounted for as much as half off. So if this phone is coming out now, phones typically have a 12 or an 18 month life cycle, or not life cycle, development cycle. So they've been working on this phone since like the middle of the 2, or maybe at the very kind of end of that life cycle. So they've had a good idea that they needed to kind of, you know, get more addressable market by lowering some of the feature sets and introducing a headphone jack. I mean, for $400, it is a good deal, but you kind of have to think of, you know, our mid-tier phones, even though this might have the best camera on it, I'm looking at it while I'm talking to you guys, is it almost disposable, right? Where it's, you know, it might not last as long as, you know, a flagship phone. I can give you an example. I watched a video yesterday, which is really interesting. His name is Travis McPhee, and he actually took a phone. He went to Walmart and bought an iPhone 6S, and he took it out of the box. The phone was, you know, presumably sitting in that box for, you know, 2 years or 3 years. I could probably longer on that. And he opened it up and he updated it right from the current, from what it was, from iOS to iOS 12.3, which is kind of amazing. If you can take that phone that is that old and update it to exactly. So will this phone, even though it has 3 years of software updates from Google, right? What's really the expected life cycle for a $400 phone?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Or,
lifespan. That's something that, I mean, like I've talked about on this podcast repeatedly. I think Holden, when we were drunkenly, there's a rant a few months ago that Holden and I did on iOS versus Android, where like one of the things that we were complaining about is the how like variable Google is with supporting their hardware, phones included, and how like the update cycle compared to the guaranteed update cycle compared to Apple is still, I don't want to say garbage, but maybe it's not great.
Is it that, or is just Apple's unparalleled in that?
Yeah, it could be. Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's absolutely what it is, honestly, is that Apple's very good at updating their older phones and no one's really caught up. I think Google's slowly doing that.
I think the Pixel line also allows them to do that.
Yeah, for sure.
But 3 years is still nothing compared to the, I mean, is it 5 or 6 we're at right now with iPhones? Like, that's amazing.
Yeah,
for mobile software, at least.
Well, and the value to people that they can use a phone for that long, you know, like, God, because nobody can be buying phones constantly. And I don't know, this one, I think this one might buy into like because the folks, again, talking about the Nexus, the folks who bought the Nexus phones were nerds who appreciated value of like having a first, you know, not taking a gamble on a small brand like a OnePlus or a Poco phone, you know, these upstarts, having the support guaranteed for a long time from Google. You know, from one of the big companies that you know is reliable for cheaper. I mean, for $400 is pretty cheap. Also, what's weird though is all the Nexus phones you can get for, not all of them, but some of them at least, you can get in higher configurations than 64 gigabytes. That's kind of weird. I don't know how I feel about that. Mm-hmm. That's, I feel like 64 is like not enough for a lot of people, but it is a quote unquote budget phone, so I kind of get it.
There's also, where's Google going to make more money off, you know, selling a higher tier storage device or selling their cloud storage?
Yeah. Yeah. And so like cloud storage, good point. Obviously they want more people using that. Yeah. I don't know. Overall, like I'm kind of like wishy-washy, not wishy-washy. I'm kind of like wait and see mode on this phone. Because we still are not a year into the Pixel 3. And Android phones, Pixels included, don't age well. Like, I've noticed, like, the longer you use them, the slower they fucking get. Like, very slow. And you can, like, wipe it. You can do whatever you want, but it still starts getting a little laggy. Okay, what are you saying?
No, I've been feeling that, too, on my Pixel 2. However, I started using the Android Q beta, and it's snappy. It's very snappy. I'm very surprised. And this is for a beta. So if it's snappy as a beta... I'm sure it's going to be...
Maybe they clean some stuff up.
They clean some stuff up, yeah. And I wonder if when it comes out, it's going to be even more, you know, not stable, but just it's going to be peppier. Just because if it's peppy in beta, it's not going to be slower at official release. Like, that's never how it works.
I feel like I've had that happen on Android before, though. Not to...
Oh, really?
I don't want to burst your bubble, but no. I feel like I've had it with, like, God, was it Pi? I've been through so many. I forgot. I have a t-shirt I was going to wear to talk to y'all that's it's like this designer who's an Android fan did like all the confectionaries of the Android versions from A to I think Lollipop or Pi.
That's funny.
I should have put that shirt on.
What are they going to do with Q? I can't think of a dessert.
I don't know, man.
I mean, like, I can think of quiche.
Some obscure thing.
That's not a dessert.
Quiche is not a dessert.
Nor have I heard of a
savory egg folded.
Savory.
There's nothing sweet about it. It's very mean. So real quick, actually, I want to go back real quick before we start. I want y'all to talk about Android Q. I haven't played with it. I literally just powered on my Pixel 1 XL for the first time in months. So I'll try to, if it even is available on the Pixel, it probably is. But real quick, I want to talk about the headphone jack because I'm one of these nerds that uses this damn dongle on my iPhone all the time because I use this pair of headphones I use. You know, all the time on my iPhone just because I like them. I like over-ear headphones. I don't know. I feel it's kind of like the not only getting folks who maybe don't, like, can't afford Bluetooth, because I feel like a lot of nerds have Bluetooth, but folks who might prefer over-ear headphones as well, like the nerdy Pixel crowd. I don't know. I just wanted to kind of give my little ranty spiel on that. That's where I'm at. I like using this dongle. I've beaten this iPhone dongle to hell and back.
I got into over-ear headphones. Oh, let's just say I got a pair of over-ear headphones because they were wireless. And I'm like, oh, I feel like it makes more sense. Now, I don't like having like big headphones on and then the wire going down. I don't know why. Like, it feels like it's too much. But my headphones have a 30-hour battery life, and they just sit over my ears. So it's kind of like I just forget about it. And it has that for me now. Whereas like AirPods didn't even have that forget about it, you know, because the battery will last 5 hours. I listen to music almost nonstop throughout the day. So like 5 hours for me is like not a lot.
Right.
They'll go out. Plus on phone calls, they tend to drain extremely fast. As right. I guess the microphones have to work at that point too. So it probably maybe not halves the battery life, but close to it. But I don't know. Having wireless over-ear headphones made me like over-ears more. So I think like whenever you get the chance, go for it. And it's an awesome experience. I love over-ear headphones that are wireless. It's great.
That's interesting.
I would agree. I really love my wireless over-the-ear headphones. I think that having them kind of makes you or enables you to listen to more because there's more freedom there.
Absolutely.
You're not necessarily tethered to your phone when you have that. I was looking for my dongle just a few minutes ago when I tried to find my headphones, but you said that. But I think they're great. You know, we're at the point where the battery life is very good. I know on some newer headphones, I think as you were pointing out, Holden, where if you're on a phone call, you know, you have the mic working, you have the actual ear cups working, but now they're at the point there where they're doing they're shutting off the mics unless you're actually talking. So there's that, you know, there's this, you know, level of technology that's being built in or being brought into headphones where there's accelerometers that can tell if you're talking or not. Mm-hmm. And it actually kind of like doubles the length of the battery life, which is interesting. Cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And that makes so much sense too, but that's really cool that they're able to do that.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It does make it a little deceptive though. And not deceptive, not like purposely deceptive. I'm not saying like there's anything shady happening, but like to say like, you know, 5 hour battery life. Yeah. 5 hour battery life. Then you're doing a phone call and it drops like that.
Yeah. It's funny. I have, because of the person that I started.
To be clear. No lawsuits should be coming.
They're coming for you, dude. With their infinite amounts of money.
Yeah.
They're just going to throw money at a lawyer just to get you. We need to get this Holden kid. This fucker. How dare he slander us? So the kid I started this podcast with, Burke, he is a huge audiophile. And I almost like hearing y'all like talk about how wireless over ears are good now, makes me think of how I've learned to be kind of a hipster contrarian with him, because he's always like, well, no, but if they're wired, they're better quality and you get better quality, you know, like,
that'll always be true. Yeah. It's always going to be true.
Yeah. I mean,
and you'd always go off about that. But it's interesting that like I see so many people now with over ear wireless, and I'm sure I haven't tried any out because these wired ones are fine. Faux now, but maybe I will at some point. But it seems like they've really, from what I understand from folks, if it has really a non-noticeable audio quality difference, that they've really caught up with just Bluetooth in general, which is really interesting.
It's also it sounds like it's kind of like what Michael's saying about the 3A camera versus the Pixel 3 camera, where it's like those differences there, but it's subtle. Anyone who actually notices those differences has a wired set for their professional needs.
Or you're lying.
Or they're lying. You're just lying to us.
Yeah.
Fucking liars.
I could be lying to myself.
That's a really good analogy. I mean, you think about it, right? Most people who, not to sound like very, not to sound super American in the statement, but like my headphones are kind of purpose built. I have a pair of headphones that I listen to in the gym. I have a pair of headphones that I listen to when I'm on the train. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I might have a pair that I mix with, but none of them kind of overlap use cases. I know. And I apologize.
Oh, I'm the same way too. This is coming from a kindred spirit here.
And so you might not have that kind of flexibility in other countries, and that's why they have this, the headphone jack. But I guess they want to market who they want to market to.
Oh, right. Actually, other countries is a big deal there, actually, because you're right. Because emerging markets they want to spend $400 on a phone. They don't want to spend $1,000 on a phone.
Yeah, they can't.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, I think that was also the case with like the Pixel. Like, I don't know the Nexus. If you look at these are such generic names. These names, they sound cool, but they're such like buzzwords, like keywords.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
The Nexus. And the Pixel's a little less buzzwordy, but it's a little more generic. Anyway, the Nexus, I feel like, maybe not emerging markets per se, but it was definitely like, the techier folks in, like India or like Eastern Europe or whatever that could afford like a decent phone would get the Nexus because it was like the best bang for buck kind of thing. It was either that or like an older iPhone, where what people would get back in whenever it was like 2010 that those phones are out, 2011. Yeah, which is interesting. I feel like this will be, like y'all are saying, kind of like emerging market or like upstart folks in those countries, kind of, people who are working as like programmers or designers or whatever that are trying to, get a nice phone.
Mm-hmm. I mean, to kind of extend that thought a little bit, you have to think about if you're in an emerging market and you're buying a phone, right, which phone has kind of the most longevity?
Right.
That's why iPhones really have higher resale value than most other phones.
Of course.
And still, like, there are people who like to have cash that associated with cachet, right? And that's why that brand of iPhone still has, right? It still means something in a lot of places in the world or in most places in the world.
Yeah, of course. For sure. Okay, so if y'all don't have anything else to add, if you do, go for it. But I wanted to have, since I haven't played it, I wanted y'all to talk about the Android Q beta thus far. How you feeling?
So the one thing I just want to talk about was maybe kind of we talked a little bit about the image quality on on the 3A XL, and really, kind of like you know, photos is Google's bread and butter, and this might just be kind of a restatement. When we look at the video quality on the 3AXL, it's really, mediocre at best, because... Holden, you probably have a good example of this because you have a 2XL, but everything that they do on the phone, right, all of the image processing is done post-capture, right? Mm. And their methodology of capturing or of displaying great photos is all done, again, post-capture. You can't capture video, right? They don't do any type of effects in video live, right? That's why when you're taking video, it looks like, right. You know, it doesn't look good at all. And it's really a different in approaching the problem than when you think about Apple. I'm not sure if either of you have experience with the newer iPhones, but on the newer iPhones, if you're taking a photo or a video, all of the previews are done live in camera. There's nothing that's done post. All right. Mm. You can edit them after the photo, which, you know, that's great. But you can change the depth of field. You can change the photo effects. All of it's doing live. And it's really just a different way that Google and Apple approach photo and video. And if you have any experience with videos on an iPhone, I mean, there's no better phone that takes a video.
Sure. I mean, there's all those films that were shot on iPhone now. And then there's a couple that are with the Pixel 3 now. I mean, they had it at their unveiling. But yeah, that's interesting.
I don't really take photos that much on my phone, nor videos. I'm just not that kind of person. So I actually hadn't even really noticed that. That's really... really fascinating, but it makes a ton of sense because you're right. Their philosophy is all After Effects. It's harder to are they going to go by frame by frame of that video, and right. Like that
exactly.
Way? Yeah, it's interesting.
I mean, they would have to seriously invest in a much more powerful processor on the phone, which that's not their deal, right? They want to bring a phone to market that's phone for everyone. Where Apple's bread and butter is we're going to make the best hardware, right? And it's going to be kind of supplemented with this amazing experience in software. Mm-hmm. Which is really why, it's just a different philosophy.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Totally. So, what are y'all's experience with Android Q now that we're talking about software?
I think it sounds like you've been doing more testing than I have. I've only had it for like 2 days. So I haven't really done it too much. But you've been like going through the phone. So I'm curious what your thoughts are, Michael.
Yeah. So I think I downloaded it the day that the beta came out, which was maybe Tuesday of this past week. And it's a lot of polish to UI elements, which I've noticed. I'm looking at my three right now. The dark screen, kind of the notifications, the shade, the notifications. It's a lot of polish, like I said. It does feel snappy. I was really surprised I even tweeted, like, I can't believe how fast it's running on this phone. And usually when you first install a beta, there's this kind of indexing period that happens where the phone just gets really hot and it's doing all this work and it doesn't work that well for the first, few hours, but this is pretty snappy. I do happen to like it. The gesture navigation is really interesting where, on the three where they had that kind of semi gestures, was that brought back to the two?
Yeah.
Okay. So you do have the gestures.
I like
the gestures for like the swipe up and then swipe to the side.
No, so like you can you can like run your finger across the home button or the home icon and to jump between apps.
Oh yeah, yep. Totally.
Yeah.
It's very much I would say it's very much or very similar to iOS where on the bottom of the it's like a bar or like a lozenge maybe. Mm-hmm. you can swipe across the bottom. Yeah, it's like a lozenge. I'm sorry, I'm not looking at the camera because I'm looking at the phone right now. You can swipe across the bottom to switch apps. You can swipe up to go up from apps. The really neat gesture is that if you're in an app, if you long press from the left or right, it'll actually close that app. So there's a little bit of overlap with gestures, with how gestures are being implemented, I think, from an app standpoint. So developers probably need to rethink of, am I going to long press or short press to get out of the app? But other than that, I think it's actually really nice. One thing I did notice as well is that you can now long press on apps and it'll give you notifications within apps, which is nice. I didn't see that in Android Pie.
Mm.
At least I don't remember it.
I think that was there. So actually, Daniel sent me a text message really quick.
Okay.
I think that was there. Let me see. I'm gonna test that right now. Because I noticed that was there and I didn't really use it too much.
Yeah, I don't use it either.
So the gestures I like. I think they're a little right now, just because it's a beta, it's a little rough. Yep, it's there it is, penis. Yep.
Just for you.
Yeah, so it's but it is, it does look different. Like right now, it's breaking out the quick commands from the notifications. Or I think in Pi, it kind of like lumped them together and was kind of awkward. Yeah, so this is definitely cleaner. Kind of going to your whole like cleaning up the UI.
Ooh,
yeah.
Going from the iPhone to the back in the Pixels, interesting. Okay, so tap home, swipe up app drawer, swipe to the right, you get the app stuff, the multitasking, the switching. I like this multitasking thing a lot. It's really...
It is, yeah, it's nice.
I like it a lot. So is this any different from the previous, from Pi at all? What's different in the gestures again? Sorry.
It was pretty janky. That's how I would describe it.
Okay. Yeah, so like how the swiping between apps would work is you would hold your thumb, you'd slide your thumb across the home icon, and this like new bar would show up. Like think about like a slider bar, and you could move like one app at a time, and there would be kind of like a vibration, kind of be like, okay, next app, next app, next app, and it'd speed up the further you moved your thumb on that slider. But you'd end up kind of like moving past the app you needed it and then jumping to the wrong app accidentally sometimes because of how quick it could jump around. Whereas this, when you swipe your thumb across the home icon, it just goes to the next app, just kind of like the iPhone's gesture.
Gotcha.
Cool. It's definitely more fluid here switching apps.
Absolutely, yeah. However, I do think that maybe this is a problem on iPhone as well. I've never had an iPhone 10 before, so I've never experienced this. But I feel like sometimes, and I want to go, I look at an app, and then I want to go back to the app I was using again. That app is no longer gestured to the right. I now have to go to the left, which kind of feels like they don't have a consistent space. Like it's not like it's Windows where like it's always in that same spot.
Right.
What happens when you stay in that app for a while is it goes to all the way to the right, where the most recent app being used is. So I wish they would find a way to keep that consistent. But I don't know how they would.
Make up their damn mind.
Yeah, exactly. But again, like there is an expectation already built into the phone that the most recent app should go all the way to the right. So it kind of makes sense both ways, but is confusing at the same time. Like I get why it's behaving that way.
Yeah.
But it's not necessarily intuitive.
It's kind of like a UX hitch, right? Where they thought it would be cool and then maybe didn't test it a lot.
Yeah, I mean, this is what betas are for.
Right, exactly. Cool. Okay, I think we're good here, unless you guys have anything else to add?
One thing I do want to mention, and I'm not sure if this is just a beta thing, but one feature I loved in Android in general is just snoozing notifications. Saying like, remind me about this in just like 15 more minutes or like, you know, an hour or whatever it is. Like I'd be in a movie and I see a message, I'd be like, in an hour this movie's done. Like, just remind me about this again. And this, when you swipe your thumb over, I see the little icon for it, but then it goes away when I do the full swipe, and I can't tap on that icon at all to snooze. So I'm not sure if that's just like a glitch in the beta or if they are getting rid of it. I have no idea.
That sounds very Google. So, hey, this thing that people like, let's not do it anymore.
Yeah. So I thought of that too, I came across that as well. If you swipe right, you get this. If you swipe to the left, you get this this notification pane that's saying interruptive and gentle.
Which is great. I actually like that a lot.
And so I'm not familiar with the snoozing. Is that what you were referring to, or is that something different?
It's something different. So in Android 9, when you swiped over that little bell icon there, if you tapped on it, first of all, you could just like slide over a little bit and keep that bell icon there so you could tap on it. That's kind of what's missing right now. And when you tapped on that, you could then say, hey, this notification, just snooze it. Any notification for any app, the developer didn't have to do anything. It was a operating system level notification control. So that was really great. They don't have this here, but I do like the interruptive and gentle notification settings there. That's kind of nice. Example of that is...
What does that mean?
Yeah, so I want to be notified when I get a text message saying penis from Daniel Regueras. So that's an interruptive text message. I want that to interrupt what I'm doing. Whereas, like, an app saying, boy, so-and-so posted to Twitter recently and it's been a long time. Like,
I hate those so much.
You can say that's a gentle, and that will still show up in notification tray, but in, like, a lower area that has a distinct... break, and it won't vibrate, it won't notify you, it won't show up in your lock screen. It's just when you go to your notification tray, it's like, oh cool,
yeah,
this person was on Twitter. Yeah, so it just kind of breaks us up nicely, which I liked a lot.
Yeah, that's a good way to like micromanage, because like that's what iOS is still not super great about, like managing notifications. There's they finally recently allow you to
group.
Honestly, like overall, it's still, we talked about this in the iOS versus Android episode, I think. The lack of nuance and the fact that like there's no universal like turn off this type of notification, you know, like turn off all lock screen. Whereas on Android, that's super easy. It's just turn off all lock screen. Done. Mm-hmm. I get no lock screen notifications anymore.
Yeah.
And this is one of the things where I think in Android they're kind of surpassing iOS in terms of like the level of like nuance there is to what you can do with the notifications.
Absolutely.
Super interesting. It's almost like micromanaging even further now.
Yeah, and what's even cool about this feature too is, you know, they have the little like icons at the top of your screen. The gentle notifications like won't show up there.
That's cool.
Which I like.
That. Oh, that is cool.
Because like, for example,
it gets crowded as fuck up there.
Well, yeah, because you have the ones that are like 13 minutes to work. I don't need that to be constantly up there telling me that there's a notification about 13 minutes to work. But it'd be nice when I pull the tray down to see that, because it is useful.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Yep.
So it's very smart.
What I thought was... Oh, I'm sorry.
No, that's it. I just want to just tag. That's it.
What I thought was really interesting, so I've been also, I've never been a big Android person. I think the first Android phone that I had was maybe a Galaxy S5 or S6 a long time ago when I worked at a carrier. But I've actually been using, in between the 3A, I actually replaced my Google Pixel 3 with a Samsung Galaxy S10. Mm. And just the level of customization, which is, to me, is not apparent on the Google Pixel, but which is amazing on the S10 and the S10 line devices, with the notifications and all the widget, or not the widgets, but the slide over notifications. And it's just, I mean, it's a really, really great experience. I was completely, completely surprised by how much I like this phone. I mean, I like it a lot. I would say almost as much as my my iPhone. Great phone, though.
Interesting.
Yeah, very interesting. It's up to you if we want to talk about it or not.
Yeah. Well, next time.
Okay.
Not now. I think now we're good. Any more thoughts on Android Q specifically? No?
No, not too much. No, dark mode's nice, but that's just kind of goes without saying. Of course dark mode's
like,
great.
Eh. Yeah, dark mode it's kind of like the cool thing to do.
Yeah.
Everyone rolls it out. Microsoft tries to roll it out and fucks it up.
Apple.
In Outlook. It looks like shit in Outlook anyway.
On the Mac, it looks great, I think. And I like it.
Yeah.
No, the dark mode in Outlook specifically is straight up trash. Anyway, so with that, I will have both of you plug. Mike, where can people find you?
You can find me either on Instagram or on Twitter. It's at Caputo, or also on YouTube. It is Tech247TV. So youtube.com/Tech247TV.
Boom. Okay, Holden, what about you?
Boom.
I am on the weekly podcast Respawn Aim Fire, which is a kick-ass reverent gaming podcast. That is at Respawn Aim Fire. I'm also there with my friend Chad Innes. He is at Chad Innes Mike. I always forget the order he keeps his
Don't look
Twitter
at me.
I have to look at it. I want to plug him properly. I always forget the order of his Twitter name, because I'm honestly never on Twitter. I'm at Holden DePardo, but you should follow... It is
you follow
at
more
it
active.
Is Chad Mike. I was right. Okay, so I am a good person. He's far more interesting than me on social media and on the podcast. He is a goofy, lovable person. So you should listen
Goofy's
to us.
Understatement. Huge understatement.
He's amazing. You guys will love him. So every Tuesday we have an episode. Check us out.
Boom. Okay. Thanks for listening, y'all. Repetitive sedatives, like ever we better with never remembering. Ever degenerate, instead of forgetting and letting them live the setting like sediment. I'm that part, mix it up with six guy, rage against machine, bitter J-Rock, K-Dot, switch it up, gangsta, getting on my stage props, dealer with the beats and catch me singing like I'm... As always, thanks for tuning in to this episode of Tech Kila. Mama call me Yeshua, running out of time with the Harry Potter head scar. I ain't got a desk job. For the regular listeners, I'd like to thank you for your support and ask that you please help us to continue to improve the show by heading over to our Patreon page and donating $1 a month. Head farts, yeah, that's for all your gum smack, mud flap, scuzz bag, unwrapped sex. By donating just $1 a month, you'll really be helping us out, and you'll get Tequila closer to hitting our goal of $30 per month. Yeah, this is how I rap before I hit it. Top shit, but I still respect women. Once that goal is reached, I personally will be designing and sending each of you a Tequila-branded shot glass or two to show my appreciation.
So head over to patreon.com/techkila to support the show. That's Patreon, which is spelled patreon.com/techkila. Like egregious kids are just in front and like Jesus and elitist pimps come from Mars and bitches come from Venus. The way I see us is my strength is all your weakness. Treat them like a hedonist. Every obstacle defeated. Preach it, I'm a seed of weed. Remember, you can submit topics for the show and interact with me and guests on the subreddit, which is found at reddit.com/r/techkila. That's for all your Joe Rap smoke ploys. That's for all your go rag, no half, low grab. Oh, you can follow Techkila on Twitter for the latest hot takes on tech news at TechkilaCast. Watchlist, that did it. This is how I rap before I hit it. Talk shit, but I still respect women. The Techkila theme song is Ride Out by Yeshua, which is spelled Y-S-H-W-A. You can also find him online as Vincent Augustus. Thanks, y'all. Ride out. They ain't praising my saint, my miracle. They